Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in here. Daily Ticker time, 12:35 here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. And we bring on good friend of the show, Mike Richmond, NBC Sports Northwest, on Twitter at Mike G. Ritz. He joins us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Mike, I want to start, before we get to the summer and what the season was, I do want to start with the Damian Lillard Supermax stuff, which is, you know, a lot of people nationally are giving their thoughts on the Supermax contract. Obviously, Westbrook has it. I think Steph just got it. Wall's contract is probably the worst one of the group because he can't play. Scottie Pippen yesterday said now isn't the time. He also alluded to Lillard maybe not being worthy of that kind of contract, that only a couple guys in the entire league are. While Damian Lillard might be worthy of the money for everything that he has done here in Portland and embracing the team, your thoughts on giving a player the Supermax and being able to still contend?
And it'd be a good thing yet.
Mike. Hey, can you restart the answer, because you were not on when you started talking?
Cool. How about now? Can you guys hear me?
We got you loud and clear.
And you guys run a daily radio show?
You wouldn't be able to guess it by the amount of things that go wrong in this building, but yes.
Okay. I don't know that there's been a Supermax contract that's handed out that's been good, like capital G good, yet. The Wall contract is going to be an absolute disaster. Russell Westbrook is on the downswing as his contract pays him $40-plus million. Steph Curry is really good, so the jury's still out on what he's worth or whatever. But from a team standpoint, what are the Blazers going to do if they don't give Dame this money? Letting him walk in 2021, it's not even on the table, so I don't know. Like, but as a hypothetical, they don't just get money to spend. If they're going to pay someone a ton of money to be the anchor of the franchise, it's this guy, and you do it now. It's probably going to be a wild overpay when Dame is 34 years old, but you pay the team to have what you have.
Yeah. Well, and looking at this offseason, too, on top of that, because we expect that to come once we find out Damian Lillard gets first team or second team All-NBA, you got the big four free agents that have been talked about a lot now and just how they're going to fit into the offseason plans, considering Portland has next to no money to spend, from Rodney Hood, Cantor, Seth Curry, and now Farouk Aminu. Where do we gauge the likelihood of all four of those guys and them being back on the roster next year?
There is no chance all four before. I think what it comes down to is choosing between Rodney Hood and Enes Kanter. I think Al Farouk Aminu is a near lock to return to the roster. I know that the fan base out there might think that that's wild, but think about it like this. Yeah. Listen, Al Farouk Aminu didn't exactly do himself a ton of favors playing against the best team in the NBA. He was close to unplayable despite Don't pay Al Farouk Aminu. It's not like you have money. There's no money that comes. It's basically free money you give to him. I think the real question is whether they commit 3 years to him or would they try to sign him for a 2-year deal or whatever. But you have to pay him because if you don't, you just sacrifice that roster spot and you are asking to fill his shoes with a minimum guy.
Right.
That's probably not a good decision. So he's coming back. Also, he's a Neil guy. Neil drafted him with the Clippers, signed him with the Blazers. Neil loves Neil guys. Chief's coming back. But then you come up with what they kind of do between the other two guys with Hood and Kanter. Seth's gone. I don't think Seth enjoyed his time here too much, which is probably his own fault because there's only one ball and Dame and CJ were on the team when he signed the contract. But Enes Kanter is a possibility, although I think he's unlikely. And Rodney Hood on the open market might be more expensive than the Blazers can afford. So maybe they have to make a trade to get to the taxpayer mid-level money, about $8 million to sign Rodney Hood.
Okay, we're talking with Mike Richmond, NBC Sports Northwest here for the ticker. A couple things here. I'll start with Aminu, kind of a two-parter for you. One, what do you think the number per year is with Al-Farouq? And then two, do you think Stotts would change his lineup next year if they signed Al-Farouq and maybe bring him off the bench? Or do you think, or do you, in your opinion, do you still think he would put him in the starting lineup, assuming there's no major overhaul changes?
How long has Chief been in the NBA? What's the max for Chief? I'm giving Al-Farouq Aminu $35 million. No, I don't know. I think he's like, what's he make now? Eight or nine? I think somewhere that's there, the range, yeah. Between $7 to $9 million a year for him. He's got real limitations. Those real limitations show up in the playoffs, but he's good. Like, he's a good rotation level power forward. He's not a small forward. At Mike G. Rich, if you'd like to argue with me, at Mike G. Rich on Twitter, he's a power forward. He's pretty good. I think they'll keep him around. And the second part, Terry Stotts doesn't change his starting lineup, you know, unless there's a minor catastrophe, and even sometimes in a major catastrophe, he sticks with the same starters. So I think he's the guy. The real failing of Al-Farouq Aminu is the Blazers' roster. They haven't had a better option at power forward other than him. You can say he's bad, but you can't point to someone on the end of the bench who's definitely better.
Yeah, that's true. The expiring contracts going into next year, I think, are the one thing that Portland might have to play with. Then we'll see if they want or try to do anything with it this summer, or if they're more of a trade deadline thing. But just on those, where would you put the likelihood Evan Turner and Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard are on the roster at training camp next year?
I think it's pretty high, just because I think those contracts are kind of hard to move. I did get the sense, leaving the locker room on whenever that was, the end of game four, that Evan Turner was considering the real possibility that he would be traded this summer. He said something like, well, who knows if I'll be back, when I was, you know, telling him that I'll see him around. So I think he knows that he'll be on the trading block, but is there another team out there that's willing to take $18 million of Evan Turner at age 31? God knows. And if it means attaching a draft pick or whatever to sweeten the deal, is Neil Olshey willing to do that, or would he rather just eat $18 million for Evan Turner and see what happens?
Mm-hmm.
I think the other guys are on the roster. They're just hard to move. As boring as it is, and I talked about this when I was on your guys' show about a month ago, that there was an outside chance that the Blazers kind of got to where they wanted to go and then stood pat. I think the most boring thing and the correct thing the Blazers could do is stand pat and hope things break their right way again and hope Yusuf Nurkic is healthy.
Okay, let me get you out of here on this one then, Mike, because I remember when you said that, and it's really stuck with me, and I believe you at this point too. But let's say they get bumped in rounds one or two next year, and it doesn't appear that there's a path. Now, Neil is not an impulsive guy. I think we knew that after last summer when they lost to the Pelicans, and there was really no changes made. Do you think something like next year coming short of the Western Conference Finals would lead him to make a drastic move or act on that at that point? Or do you think he really does play this thing out till these guys are 33, 34, and he just rolls and hopes to God that he hits during this stretch?
I think that he is more likely, you know, like greater than 50% chance that he stands fat with this core and tries to do what he's really good at, which is bargain shop. I mean, that's where Neil has been impressive. He hasn't, when the sticker gets big, when the price tag gets big, he's kind of struggled. But on the small price tag stuff, I think he's done really well. I think a first round exit makes you reconsider the group. But the thing that the move to make is to trade CJ McCollum, and the Blazers don't make the Western Conference Finals without him. And I'm sure Neil knows that. I think this run reaffirmed his belief. I think he said it, that the first round exit was the fluke, not their performance in the regular season. I think he stands by that, and I think this is the core, for better or for worse.
Yeah. There we go. Good stuff. NBC Sports Northwest, Mike Richman at Mike G Rich also has the Locked On Blazers podcast. Give him a follow on Twitter. Check out everything he's doing online as well. Mike, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on all year, and we'll catch up with you down the road, man.
Oh, yeah. There's more stupid NBA offseason stuff. I'm sure I'll be back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.